from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
One, two. To left. Conforto all the way back into the corner, and it is gone. And I don't believe it.
Wow.
Tie game 5-5. I don't believe it.
Oh my goodness. A little take it with you, bunt.
He did. And he got it past the pitcher. Beautifully done. The run will score. Nobody out. 2-1. It's 6-5 Giants. You can't do it better than that.
There it was. The old take it with you bunt.
That was beautiful. 1-2. Got him with the sweeper to finish off a marathon day. The Giants get a win. It took everything and everybody that they have.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that's all from NBC Sports Bay Area. And I would say there were two moments in this game where I think Dave Fleming was just about to lose it.
Yeah.
And I mean, lose it. And one of them in the very first inning when the umpire did something that was just like, look, we all make mistakes, but don't double down on your mistakes. And he tossed out Bomell, and we can get to that with FP. But then also, after multiple rain delays and a lengthy road trip on its last day, the last thing that you want to see with rain flying out of the sky is somebody hit a 3-run Oppo Taco to tie a game with 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth to keep this thing going even longer. And I thought Dave was about to lose his bananas.
Yeah, because everybody wants to go home at that point. Can we just get out, one singular out? Jeez. And that was such a cheapie. And FP can explain what kind of a yard that is, but I don't think that thing goes out almost anywhere. That was just a lazy fly to left.
I made it carried, which through that weather is odd.
Wild.
But anyway, that's right. Let's talk to FP. All guests right here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. How about that one against the Nats in your old digs there, FP?
You guys, what a great day in sports. I've been sitting here all day. I had my computer out watching the Giants game. I had USA Basketball on TV. I mean, just drama all over the place. You're wondering if it's going to be one of the greatest upsets ever in Olympic basketball. If they come back and win it, it's the Steph Curry show. I'm screaming and yelling in my place, and I can hear the dogs barking next door to me because I'm so loud. I'm going nuts over the basketball game. I'm going nuts over the baseball game. I'm dropping audible F-bombs. My neighbors probably think I'm nuts right now based on what's happened today. Just a great day in sports, man. It's why we all love it. Just, I mean, what a treat. I know you guys have been working, so maybe you didn't get to experience all of it I did.
Bum
on the couch here today. It was just, what a day, man. This is what it's all about. I'm still beaming from basketball and then the baseball game. And you guys are talking about Dave Fleming, one of the best broadcasters in all of sports right now, period. End of story.
Yeah, no.
And he's got to a comfort level and a point in his career where it's just so awesome because he just goes stream of conscious. Like, whatever he's thinking, he says now. He's so confident and so established in a lot of different sports with ESPN and with Disney and with the Giants. And he's just so good at what he does now that he just really doesn't even care what he says. And I love listening to him on the radio, on the TV. he's as good as it gets. And today he was just pissed and frustrated, and you want to get home to see your family, and you get excited about they move the game up, we're going to get home earlier, and then everything that could go wrong or make it just torture for the whole day did, and they got out of there with a win. It was just, I don't know. You might look back at today if they pull this thing off and say, today was a reason why.
Well, I would put it the other way, which is that if they had lost, I don't think they're coming back from that today. So, yeah, it was huge. But let's talk about one of the people Dave must have been mad at. FP, let's be real now. Should Camilo Duvall still be the closer?
I was hoping we would do a couple of really fun questions about how great the day was before we got to this one.
Nope, let's like do this first.
Like Mark Canna's day.
So clutch.
And Tyler Fitzgerald is playing great, and they finally got a hit with runners in scoring position. But, yeah, I know that's the big elephant in the room right now. And I don't know how much longer you can go with him, you guys. I don't know what's going on. He lost his mojo. And here's the thing is if they are going to pull this off, like I just mentioned, they need him. And I don't know what's going on with him, but you can't afford. I've told you guys this before, and I believe this fully. The toughest losses as a baseball player are blown saves, where you go out there and you do your part. It's almost like the kicker comes in and he misses a field goal at the end of the game. It's kind of that clubhouse when you're done. It's just crickets, and you just those losses have reverse momentum. So there's nothing worse than having a closer that you just don't know about. And there's nothing better than you have a closer that he comes in the ninth and you throw your glove on the field and you're like, this is a lock. And we went through ups and downs with Brian Wilson. He was adventurous in his saves, but he found a way to get it done. And Rob Nen and Shooter, and we can go back to all the great closers in Giants history. And Camilo was tracking to be one of those. And now all of a sudden, and I don't know the reasons. If I had to guess, you guys, and this is a wild guess because I'm not in the guy's head, and it's always dangerous as a broadcaster or a commenter to speculate, but it just seems like this is a mental thing more than a physical thing.
So to fix the mental thing at this point, what do you do? Because you can't option him down. Triple A is almost over, and that would be damaging. You can't just pull him and throw him in the seventh or eighth because that would be damaging. Or is that something that you would hope would be too deleterious for a guy who's already shown to be a little bit fragile?
Well, I'll say this, Dibs. This is check your ego at the door time. You got teams to catch, and you got business to take care of. So this isn't about feelings at this point. A lot of times when you're talking about 162-game season, you have to manage personalities and you have to manage feelings. And today's athlete is more sensitive than ever, right? You guys know, you coach younger kids. It's just a different time. So early on in the season, you hug them, you tell them it's going to get better, you go to the bullpen, you figure things out. But when it gets to, you know what, cutting time, and that's what it is right now, it's whoever's getting the job done. You know, Bruce Bochy won 3 World Series by everybody checking their ego and at the door. And if it was a big game and it was a second inning and you were an established pitcher, you were out of there. And it was the next guy and the next guy. And he would just go through the bullpen until he found something that worked. So when you're playing catch-up ball and you're in this position, this isn't about feelings at this time. This is about winning however you win. And if he's not going to be able to do it, you see, you know, they have safety nets up now in the bullpen when he's pitching. And I know probably Bob's at his wit's end with this thing, but it's such a delicate situation because closers are like wide receivers, and I'm sure you guys have been talking about wide receivers a lot. I mean, they're kind of the divas of Major League Baseball, right? They come in, they have the lights, they have the shows, and all the teams do it now with the closers and coming in, and so that's a fragile ego thing, but. But right now, if you're not getting the job done, you have to go to somebody that is getting the job done. And I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make this decision, but I know Ryan Walker's getting the job done. I know Taylor Rogers today is getting the job done. And there's other options down there. And this is the time of year where it's all hands on deck. I know that's a cliche, but whoever is performing, that's why you're seeing Marco Luciano not playing. Whoever's performing right now, whoever's helping the Giants win a game has to be in whatever role is best for the Giants to win a game right now.
You can say nut cutting time, FP, because, yes, it's about having to cut a nut off away from a bolt because rust has immobilized it. And it's really a period of time where decisive action must be made. So it has nothing to do with other nuts. So you can say...
I didn't know that. I just thought that was just like about like being a eunuch or something.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. So I Googled it during your 90-second answer, and I realized that it's about nuts and bolts. So you can say nut cutting time.
You better be careful.
It better be. If it was the other thing, it's never nut cutting time. Like, oh my God, that sounds like the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
I mean, there's this thing called a vasectomy, too, so I didn't, you know, maybe that was the reference.
Yeah,
I don't
too
know.
Soon.
Tibbs will tell
too
you all
soon.
About it. Anyway.
Snip, snap.
All right, okay. 10 of 13, but yes, against pretty weak competition. But, FP, what do you think? Like, do they have something here or not?
They're on their way to having something. And I'll tell you this, like, the games like today, you guys, where you're just like, gee, it rains again, and we're in the locker room again, and we come out, it rains again, and our closer gives up a three-run homer. You miss your family. You've been on the road for a couple of weeks. You can't wait to see your wife and your kids. You just want to get on the plane. I've been on teams where they just cash it in games like this. And the teams that really want to accomplish something, the teams that have that fight to do what they did today, I don't care if it's the Nationals, I don't care if it's a 14 and under team, what they did today, it just tells a lot about this team. And I think the one thing we can say about the Giants this year, as frustrating as a lot of things have been, is that they do fight. And if you have that, and you have that down the stretch, and I mean that plane ride, that locker room, guys, I just got I'm on the Signal app, and I just got a text that they have to hurry to the airport tonight to beat weather, or they have to stay in D.C. another night. So they're scrambling in the clubhouse right now. They're trying to get on the bus. I'm sure they're going to, you know, do their best to get to the airport, maybe with a police escort, who knows, just to get out of D.C. tonight so they get home and they got to play tomorrow. So their long day could get longer, so I'm rooting for those guys to get to the airport. I think the weather's coming at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and they have to try to beat the weather out of D.C. tonight to get back to San Francisco.
In their spot, do you really look at the schedule much, FP? I know it's just all about win the next day, and you've mentioned it. Try to go 1-0 today and the rest of it, but they got 3 against Detroit. Atlanta's lost 5 in a row. You got 4 with them. The A's on the road in front of nobody, and then the White Sox. That's your next group of series. Do you start to maybe keep one eye ahead, thinking about this really being, for lack of a better way to describe it, nut-cutting time?
Because you can say that.
You can.
I just learned. I learned something listening to you guys every day.
Appreciate
which
it.
Is really, really special. It's a very educational show.
Special.
It's super special listening to you guys. I learned. It's almost like going to class every day, and I love listening to you. I don't know, Dibs, you're asking the wrong guy, and as a broadcaster, I should probably be more in tune with the schedule and more aware of what's coming up. But, like, the baseball player in me still takes over, where I've told you guys stories where I was on the charter, and we'd be in the air for like an hour, and I'd turn to my buddy and say, where are we going? Who are we playing? Because as a baseball player, you just get so involved in the day. Like, what can I do today to prepare for this game? What can I do today to help my team win this game? And then you drink a beer in the clubhouse, and you take a deep breath, and then you're ready for the next game. And I guarantee if you ask those guys, they probably know they're playing Detroit tomorrow, and they know they have to win tomorrow. But the players don't think like this. They just got to go out and continue playing decent baseball. I don't know if they're playing good baseball right now. They're playing better baseball. They're playing baseball well enough to win games. But then all of a sudden you have this little thing called momentum. They won 10 out of 13. The negative fan will say it's against so-and-so. But like in the big leagues, you guys are well aware anything can happen on any day. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Rockies. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Marlins. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Nationals. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Dodgers. Like it's a baseball game, and you just prepare yourself to go out there and compete at the highest level on a nightly basis. Then you come back the next day and you hook yourself up to all the machines, you ice everything down, you put the heat pads on, you do your pregame routine, you go out there again. But like you get to this point of the year, everybody's banged up. So it's whatever you can do to go out there and be the best version of yourself to do. I always used to think just do one little thing to help your team win. It's not about going 3-for-4 with a double in the gap and driving in 3 runs. Like look at myself in the mirror and what can I do to help my team win today. And if you get 25, 26 guys to start to think that and to think that way, you can gain some momentum here. And there's teams in front of you that are struggling. The Dodgers are struggling right now. The Diamondbacks are three games back. They're breathing down their throat right now. They've been on fire. So it's just about one day at a time. It really is. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear. But yeah, the schedule right now is pretty conducive. The Tigers are playing good baseball. And everyone's saying, oh, it's the Tigers. They're going to sweep the Tigers. The Tigers just went up to Seattle and played really well. So we'll see how this whole thing goes. But I know tomorrow will be a lot easier for these guys based on what happened today. Because if you spend 5 hours on a baseball field, Mark, to your point, and you lose, and now you get a six-hour flight home, like that's a hard one to get over. Like, yep. If you go out there and get beat 10 to nothing in a 2 hour and 45 minute game, that's baseball. But if you go out there, you're on the field, you're off the field, you're grinding, your closer gives up a 3-run jack, you thought you were going to win, then you lose. That was a mental, there was a lot of mental energy for those guys spent in this game. And if they didn't come out on top, you just like, we just did all of that. I'm sitting in my locker. I'm filthy dirty. I can't even breathe right now. I'm beat. We've been on the road for however many days. And we did all that for nothing. Yeah, like those are the ones that hurt too.
Well, and Bo Mel has talked so much about nothing matters till we get over 500, and it would have knocked them back below 500 again. They're finally over 500, so I thought there was something there too. FP Santangelo with us. Okay, I got one more. I'm going to go to a negative place again, but I'm going to ask it in a productive way. This team, for whatever reason, because I can hear when you say, oh, they're playing better. They're still not playing great. They are still freaking allergic to the sac fly. When there's a runner at third and zero outs or one out, it's a strikeout every single flipping time, and it's very annoying. Here's how I want to ask it to you, bud. When you're in that situation, what's the approach? What works and what doesn't?
Well, it's easy to say for you and I. It's harder to do when you're up there and adrenaline is flowing. But for to drive in runs, all the good RBI guys I was ever around, they're not afraid to hit with two strikes. And that doesn't mean you get to two strikes. But if guys are afraid to hit with two strikes, they swing early in the count because they don't want to get to two strikes. So to drive in runs, the number one thing is you got to realize that the pressure is on the pitcher. Like, he got himself into this jam. He's the one that should be nervous and amped up right now, not you. So it's think about up the middle the other way, because if I try to pull the ball, I get too big and I'm susceptible to anything slow or anything away. And it's to realize that the pressure's absolutely 100% on the pitcher. And just let the at-bat come to you. Deep breaths between pitches. See yourself doing it between pitches. Have a really good game plan and try to execute that game plan. What am I sitting on? Yeah, I always say there's two counts to hit it in baseball only, two counts. There's two strikes and less than two strikes. And with less than two strikes, you're looking for one pitch in one spot, and you're spitting on everything else. What happens in those situations, you saw Ramos today a couple of times, he looked young. He was excited. He wanted to drive in the runs. And so to take it a step further, and I could talk about this for an hour, is you have to have confidence in the guy behind you to get the job done if you don't. Meaning, if they want to walk me here, take my walk. If they're not going to pitch to me here, take my walk. The guy behind me, I have confidence in passing the baton to the guy behind me that he'll get it done. And it's not, I want to get the job done. I'm going to get the job done. I'm going to drive in the runs here. It's like, if I get the pitch with less than two strikes I'm looking for, I'm going to get my A swing off and think about up the middle the other way. And then just be relaxed and try and have confidence in your ability to hit with two strikes. The best RBI guys in the history of the game, they don't give a crap what the count is. 3-1, 0-2, they're still going to drive that run in.
My friend, thanks so much. We're going to see you a lot soon, so we're looking forward to it.
All right, you guys, have a great rest of the show. I hope you have something to talk about today. There wasn't a lot going on in sports, so I hope you really find something to talk about.
I mean, there's no Brandon Ayuk trade, so we're just still sitting here in neutral as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, because you don't talk about the great things. Talk about Steph. Steph was awesome today. I was screaming.
That's
at the
pretty
TV.
Good. FP, we needed you in here because our normally quiet outer room was filled with Director of Sports Lucas Alexander acting like you used to act during the Giants World Series runs down there at Comcast Sportsnet.
Screaming, high-fiving. Oh, yeah, man, show that emotion.
America, baby.
I'll leave it with this. Today was a...
Good
today
comment,
was
Luke.
A very on a Thursday afternoon. You couldn't ask for more. Today was a special day if you're a sports fan.
I agree. Yeah, it felt like March Madness. You don't get this on Thursday afternoon very often, but
so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Here we are. All right, thanks, bud. Great talking to
All
you.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, there it is. FP. Final pitch. And there were too many pitches today. And my mind goes in two very opposite directions. Like, remember now, and I remember because you and I was about to head out to town, and we were about to start that four-game Rockies series. And I was like, they're going to win all four. And then they did. And then it was the trade deadline. And we all know what happened there, which was kind of a mixed bag of half-stepping and money and not what people really wanted. And then you're like, okay, but after that, you're playing a stretch of teams that you need to beat and you need to win all those series. Now, the A's series is only a two-game series. But since then, 6-3. So four in a row going into the deadline, 6-3 since then. There's your 10-13. And you guys are right. There's the schedule is going to continue to give you breaks for the next few weeks. Now, there is a stretch after that that gets really hard, and I don't think people have really, you know, this whole thing about, oh, the Giants' schedule is easy. There's this stretch starting in September where they go Arizona, San Diego, Milwaukee, San Diego, Baltimore, Kansas City, Arizona. It's like seven straight series against really good baseball teams. So whatever. Worry about that when you get there. But they are winning the games. They are hitting the ball. People like Conforto and now Cana today has this great game. And so you're getting the contributions. Ramos is back. Chappie can't stop hitting home runs. That's all great. However.
Oh, boy.
No, I do. Like you
sound like Grandy right
now. No, you got to ask for a lot. If you're asking for a playoff team, you have to ask for a lot. And there's three things that stand out to me right now. If you really want to take this and make this something. There's three things. You've got to figure out what's going on with Harrison and Birdsong because they both look exhausted. That's number one. Number two, very obvious, Camilo Doval, problem. And here would be my new rule. He's either not the closer or when he comes in, as soon as he walks someone and you're allowed to take him out, you take him out. So that second walk today, which was his third batter, gone. You're out.
And then, stay confident, kid.
I'm sorry. There's no time for that. It's nut cutting time.
Thank you, and I appreciate you using it because it's a clean expression.
There's no time. Pablo Sandoval, Barry Zito, these people got benched in playoff runs. There's no time. Okay? And then number three, I don't know what the hell needs to happen for somebody to put the ball in play when there's a runner at third and less than two out. I don't know if we need to start incentivizing this like they're little kids. You know what I mean? Like, put your phone away. Okay, put your phone away. If you put your phone away five nights in a row, you get a cookie. What in the hell is it going to take to put the bat on the ball with a runner at third and less than two outs? It is an automatic strikeout right now. No matter who the hell's at the plate, they're allergic to the sac fly. I can't remember the last time they got a sac fly, and it's killing them because they're a team that's not good enough to blow you out. They need to win close games. So if you need to win close games and you can't trust your closer and you can't score guys from third, you're in a world of hurt.
You're in a tough spot, but you do have three-fifths of your rotation looking pretty good.
Dominant.
The other
yes.
two arms, it's probably going to wind up being bullpen games the rest of the way because you've got young pitchers who are overextended beyond where they've ever been in their career. Today was an odd one because you had the rain delay, but Kyle Harrison has not looked as dominant as he did in April and May.
Yeah, he was okay.
He's a young pitcher looking tired, and you do have Jordan Hicks and you got Sean Jelly, guys who can come in and be a bridge. The thing about Doval, I wonder about his fragile psyche. I don't know how fragile it is, but it seems like he's a guy who has allowed his own failure to get to him. So if you do start to take him out when he struggles, that doesn't give him confidence. And if you completely remove him from the closer role, that doesn't give him confidence. So right, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place unless you want to completely make a move and not even go back to him ever again as closer this year.
Well, I don't know about ever again. But
this
I mean,
year.
Yeah. Like
if you make that move now, you're basically going to go with Ryan Walker the rest of the way, or you're going to do whatever you think you should do. If you take Camilo Duvall out of the closer role, I don't think you can then put him back into it later in the year.
Maybe not.
I don't think that he has the psyche to withstand that.
Maybe not, but I also am not sitting here like very low on my priority list is Camilo's confidence.
No, that's but you need him confident to get out. And if he's not confident, then
we're moving
then
on.
Then you take him out.
Yeah, then we're moving on. They're like that rope right now is not gone, but it is very short. And you can feel it. You can see it. There is no patience for this. He's right. When he talked about safety nets in the bullpen, did everyone catch what that means? Camilo's coming into the game and someone else is warming up.
Exactly.
Before the hell he's gotten even to the mound. So they already know. They know. And that's probably not good for his confidence.
Nope.
All right. Glad you're with us. We're sponsored by Safeway. We are going to get to some of the Herm Edwards sound and the Aiyuk situation. Diana Russini has an interesting tweet that you're going to want to hear about. TJ Houshmandzadeh is joining us in an hour or less. And we're open to your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back to Willard and Dibbs.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, so where are we with Brandon Aiyuk? This among the things we've been talking about today. Team USA with an unbelievable rally to get to the gold medal game, beating Serbia by 4. Steph Curry, the star, 36 points. They don't go anywhere without Steph. The Giants built a 5-2 lead going into the bottom of the ninth, basically on the back of Mark Canha's 4 hits, including a bases-clearing double in the top of the ninth with 2 outs. Why did he get a double with 2 outs to clear the bases? Because people can't put the ball in play when there's less than 2 outs.
That makes sense.
With a runner at third. So Chappie strikes out. There goes Canha to save the day. Then the Giants are up 5-2, but Camilo Duvall blows the save with a three-run homer with two outs. They end up winning in extra innings, 9-5. Rain delays throughout, sloppy, wet, ugly, all of that. But the Giants are on a heater. They've got a winning record. They're three out of the wild card. And then there's Brandon Ayuk. And has anything changed? Not much in a public setting, maybe a little bit in a private setting, and I'll explain that in a second. Here's what Diana Russini tweeted not that long ago, and this is sort of, I guess, the latest up-to-date piece of information, if you will. The 49ers, to this point, haven't been satisfied with the Steelers' offers and would like a receiver in return for Ayuk as part of a trade, although they are open to players at other positions, league sources said. All right. Hey, translate all that.
Well, what does that mean to you? They want a good player. And if they can't get a receiver, which they'd like a receiver, but as we've talked in the past, Pittsburgh has one really good receiver on a rookie deal. They're not trading him. They've got another pretty good receiver that the 49ers may or may not want. I don't even know if that player would be a starter.
Which one are you talking about?
Talking about Deontay. Deontay Johnson.
He's not there anymore.
Oh, he went
to Carolina.
Oh, there you have it.
Yeah, your other receivers are like Calvin Austin.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Van Jefferson.
Van Jefferson's a third receiver. The Niners already have one.
Anyway, so yeah,
the Niners need a one or a two.
Yeah.
And I know there was talk about them being interested in the tight end Freiermuth, which Pittsburgh's not going to trade Freiermuth.
Wouldn't think.
No. And, you know, then you get into bigger names like Minka Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt, and these are not players that are going to be on the move. So then you get into second tier offensive linemen, backup edge rushers, players who maybe could be a part of the deal, but depends on how many picks would come along with that.
Or do you involve a third team? And right. Are there players out there, right? I mean, like, and this is, I believe this to be speculative and just fun fodder for social media, but I like our show to be fun,
yeah.
So why not share fun fodder?
Okay.
I have heard Pittsburgh only wants to give up picks, and the 49ers would like a player. So the idea has been floated of take the picks from Pittsburgh and send them to Vegas, and Davante Adams comes to the 49ers.
That's fun.
Everybody happy.
Pretty much.
Don't we like happy?
Especially if you can send them one pick and then you're able to keep a pick.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't.
Ayuk for a first and a third.
Well, and the
and
agent.
Then you send the first to the Raiders and you get Devontae for a first.
Yeah, I don't know if Pittsburgh's looking to give up a first. But yeah, if it's a two and a three or a one and a two, whatever.
Yep.
I like your idea. And I do think part of this has sort of been born from the fact that Brandon's agent, who, by the way, is also the agent for John Lynch. I don't know if that's sort of been under-discussed. So, a little incestuous, but anyway.
Totally.
In this particular case. But the agent for Brandon Ayuk and John Lynch has been spending the week at Raiders practice.
There you have it. And we saw him in the background of the NFL Network live from when they were doing the camp thing. So, maybe that's a part of it. And it makes sense that Davante Adams is a guy who is from here and wants to win and has been openly critical of his ability to stay alive as a player for Las Vegas.
Right. Right. Like, I think he likes good quarterbacks. Doesn't have one right now. Certainly didn't have one last year. Mark Grandy's got that look in his eye. He's got that look in his eye right now.
And the light is on.
Yeah, he's like, I got something to say, damn it. What do you got to say?
Well, you brought up a three-team trade. Yeah. There's also, I've seen some, social media fodder, as you put it. Another AFC West wide receiver, Denver Broncos, Cortland Sutton. Maybe the Niners interested in Cortland Sutton, and they work a three-team trade with the Steelers and the Broncos.
I saw that, too. I know we all know, at least in our industry, we know Ben Albright, who is based in Denver. He reports that that's not a thing. Again, take whichever reports you want. He says that that is not being discussed. I don't, who knows? Who knows what we're going to get? Maybe we're going to get a nothing burger.
Sure. And I do think that, as we talked about yesterday, three-team trades in the NFL are extremely rare. And they're very difficult to pull off. But the hypothetical of Devontae and Pittsburgh and the Niners, that is an appetizing one. And while we're doing fun fodder radio, that is pretty fun.
Whoa.
Because you picture Devontae Adams is much more like Brandon Ayuk. He's better than Brandon Ayuk. Even though he's older than Ayuk, he's better still. Yes. Than Brandon Ayuk, but he's that type of a receiver. He can hit you from all three levels. You know, the short, the intermediate, and the deep route.
And he can get off the line. He gets open. He is, in fact, maybe the best in the entire game at shaking one-on-one coverage. And that's what Brandon does well and better than Debo. And so it's what the 49ers would probably be after. I have stated this, and it's not that I'm changing my mind. I have stated that if there is a trade of Brandon Ayuk, it represents a failure. And what I mean by that is not that the 49ers should just cower and give Brandon whatever he's asking for. What I mean by that is this is not what you do. You don't trade your good players in August when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. However, I'll add this. Of all the things I've heard, there's only one that would make 49er fans forget Brandon Ayuk 4 seconds after the trade ended. And that would be Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that would be.
That's the only one. I don't want to hear about Amari Cooper. I don't want to hear about Kendrick Bourne.
Oh, no.
We're not going to. The Patriots are out. I don't want to hear about Terry McLaurin.
Cortland Sutton's a good wide receiver.
But
he's not Brandon Ayuk.
Not going to do that. And even George Pickens. All of these things are fun, cool. Fantasy drafts are soon. There's one that would make me go, Brandon, go bye-bye. And that would be Devontae flipping Adams.
Bye-bye.
No doubt.
That's the only one.
And they could do a receiver doc part two, and they wouldn't have to leave this one facility.
Stay here.
Just go
to Santa Clara and do the whole doc.
That's it. No, he would be one that you would, you know, it would feel like you won the trade, even if you wound up with no picks. So Ayuk commands a second and a third. Let's just pretend those second and third go to Vegas. And you know what? You even got to throw in, maybe you throw in Eli Mitchell, or you throw in one of your receivers, Danny Gray. Because there are receivers that you're going to cut that are going to be NFL players elsewhere.
Agreed.
And I do think that your running back room is probably one body too big. Matt Maiocco today with a great early breakdown of the 53-man roster as he sees it breaking camp. And when you start to look at some of these position groups, they've got some depth in there where you've got some guys who are going to shake free. The receivers in general, you've got Bell, you've got Conley, Trent Taylor. These are all guys who might be on the bubble for making the roster or not.
My dude, I just went to the Niner roster, like their training camp roster.
Yeah.
It's got 15 receivers on it.
Well, T.O. just got released.
Yes, Tarico, so you're correct.
T.O. too.
So now call it 14.
Okay.
But they added a new one today in Robbie Chosen, formerly known as Robbie Anderson.
His last name is now Chosen?
It's now Chosen. He changed it from Anderson to Chosen.
No, his first name is now Chosen, not Robbie.
Thank you.
He's really? Chosen Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
No, he's Chosen instead of Robbie.
Let's get it straight. Now you're making me doubt myself. Let me double check.
I'm doubting
myself. You better be careful.
I very well might be wrong. I thought his name was Robbie Chosen. He didn't change to Anderson?
That was so 2 years ago, Willard.
Oh, you are right. My bad.
Robbie Chosen.
Oh, Robbie Chosen?
Yeah. He didn't get rid of the Robbie.
Wait. Previously known as Robbie Anderson and briefly Chosen Anderson, he is now Robbie Chosen.
Yeah.
I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Too much.
It's...
he's a Niner now.
What we have is an odd wide receiver. I'd like a documentary on him and his name.
Well, what we have is an arduous process of red tape because my wife, the lovely Supper, she has just now decided to take on Dibley.
Hey,
which she was always going to do.
Dibley?
Supper Dibley. Sup Dibs. So
Sup Dibs.
A couple weeks ago, she's like, you know
every
what?
Time I see her,
I'm going to finally do it.
Oh.
And so she writes down a list of everything she needs to change. 50 different things.
Well, yeah.
50 different
pain in the rear.
PG&E.
Pain,
East
God.
Bay Mud. Republic Services garbage, Lululemon, and you start to go through Amazon, you start to go through all the things, DMV, Social Security, all my credit cards, my banking, my teaching credential, and she's going through just bippity, but she makes a list, and it literally is 50 different agencies.
Tell her to leave the Lululemon one in the old name, and maybe she won't have to pay $128 for yoga pants.
Well,
but
she's
anyway.
Actually moved on to other yoga pants companies because the Lulu quality is not what it used to be, but I digest.
Oh, is that so?
It's a whole thing in my household. But
you could take them back if you get a hole in them, and they give you a new one.
But
sometimes.
The point is, for Chosen Robbie to change his name legally, that ain't easy.
I gotta think that that's hard.
And,
that was brutal.
And he was born Robbie Anderson. Robbie spelled R-O-B-B-Y. He now spells it R-O-B-B-I-E.
Correct.
Well,
I mean,
that's a problem.
Just ask him again tomorrow what his name is. Who knows? You'll be right at some point, Grandy. He'll change it to that.
And Robbie Chosen is not on the Mount Rushmore of athlete name changes.
Meta World Peace is the president of that.
I
think.
I don't know about that. First of all,
he's on the Rushmore. No?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is in the Washington spot.
Sure.
And you could put Muhammad Ali, if you want to put aside the religious ones and just do the frivolous ones.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
That was a religious one.
Chad Ochocinco.
Chad Ochocinco.
Ochocinco's up there.
Meta World Peace.
Is on the Rushmore.
He was one of the originals. He was
World
my
Be
absolute
Free.
Favorite.
So if we put aside the religious ones, because Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, whatever, that's the greatest of all time.
Robbie's not making the list.
Roxy Bernstein?
Just the first name. That's a nickname.
Please explain.
Thank you. Alan Bernstein, shout him out. Meta World Peace for sure. Ochocinco,
My four.
World Be Free.
Yeah, Meta World Peace, World Be Free, Chad Ochocinco, and Sup Dibs. Those are my four. That's my Rushmore. That's my Mount Changemore.
Sup Dibs.
Sup Dibs.
Sup Dibs.
She's going to never see me again.
Oh, she's going to hate you more than she already does.
And that's a lot.
Does he ever let you talk?
No!
It's like a 7-minute ride.
Stop!
It's a 7-minute talk for...
Stop!
She has to...
No talking!
She goes seven...
Why are you still talking?
Because she...
No!
And but...
I thought we talked about this.
No, you talked about it. That's kind of the bit. Sup, Dibs. Sup, or Dibbly. Anyway, Robbie
Why
Chosen...
Why does everybody think I'm in charge of that? I don't have some wand in here.
No, but you just don't stop. You're like my 2-year-old.
To the R TikTok. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it.
My God. Anyway.
Supper
say
dibbly.
Whatever you want on this show.
Of course I can. For 14 seconds till you interrupt
you. Exactly.
Man, sports, man.
Sports.
Anyway, any more great name changes, weigh in on the YouTube.
But listen to these. Like, and I actually have been doing this in my mind out there while we're thinking about receivers. I'm like, I can't. You know what? Game show music, please. Let's do it.
Da, da, da.
You don't have a roster up, do you?
Of course not.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, especially Supper Dibbly, get ready. Dan Dibley's about to talk on the radio. Here we go. How many current 49er wide receivers on the training camp roster can you name? We'll take out Tariq Owens. There are 14 of them.
Oh, Jesus.
Go ahead.
Well, we'll go with Debo, Ayuk, and Juwan. Do I need full names? And like, because
No. That's three.
I think it's Tyshawn Samuel. It's not Debo.
Yeah, Tyshawn, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Supper's calling me right now. You better keep your name out her mouth.
No, she's saying, stop. You're talking too much.
Totally.
Honey.
You're ruining the bit.
Stop.
Trent Taylor and Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray.
Okay, why are you doing these in threes? Why are you?
Because I'm knocking them out. I'm at six right now.
You're at six?
Did I say Trent Taylor right there?
You did.
Gray, Taylor, and Bell. Here's where it gets difficult.
The two rookies,
Pearsall and Cowing.
I was going to be like, there's a couple of easy ones.
Yeah.
Yep, that's eight.
And did I mention Chris Conley?
No, that's nine.
Yeah. there's Robbie Chosen.
Correct.
That's 10.
Yep.
And your boy's running out of steam here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and stop at 10 and feel good about myself.
Okay. All right. There's also Malik Turner.
Wouldn't have gotten it.
There is Tay Martin. There is Jontre Kirkland.
You did Steiny right there.
I did a little one.
That was awesome.
A little one.
Baby Stein.
And Frank Darby.
All right, no relation
son
to Terrence,
of Terrence Trent.
Trent.
Yeah,
yes, thank you.
That's his son. A lot of famous people's sons are Niner wide receivers this year.
And a teammate of Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State.
There you go.
Frank Darby.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All, like, Ayuk brought all his teammates.
Your Steiny's better than his Steiny.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to, yeah. Anyway, so there you go.
So
yes, people are going to get cut.
Well, the last four that you named that I didn't, you can go ahead and say bye-bye. So now we're down to 10.
Probably no more than six, right?
Yeah.
That are going to make the team?
I think so. Six is even, that's a big number.
And it's a big number. It's five or six. It's going to be at least five, no more than six.
And so if you're Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell right now, you are working with Pittsburgh to see if they can acquire Brandon Ayuk.
Well, look, obviously Debo makes the team. Obviously Juwan makes the team.
And Cowing and Pearsall. Those are four locks.
Yeah, Pearsall is. I don't know that Cowing's a lock. I think so. And then, you know, I think Conley is in good shape, but Brandon Ayuk, okay, is Ayuk on the team? Is he not?
Yeah.
Do they acquire another one?
Mayoka made a good point about Trent Taylor being the only one that they can really put faith in to catch a punt right now.
Yep, well.
So Trent Taylor, and he's a guy that they loved. They let him go. They brought him back.
He could be the sixth if they keep six because he's also a special teamer. That's how tight that it's looking at that position with the possibility of acquiring another one still.
Yeah.
So
it's a group where you could look at Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray and you could include them in one of these, you know, crazy fan-friendly three-team trades we're talking about.
Yeah, does anybody need that though? Does anybody
care? If the Raiders trade Davante Adams, maybe you end up giving, you know, the Raiders the first crack at one of these guys you're going to cut before they become just street free agents. Maybe it's just a throw-in a trade like this.
I mean, it's very like if Ayuk is suddenly on the team. I mean, it's very possible that your five receivers, forget Trent, call him the six for catching a punt, but the five receivers would simply be Debo, Juwan, Ayuk, and the two rooks. And the rest of them all would miss the team.
Yeah.
That's totally possible.
And you wind up with one of those guys who gets cut back on the practice squad potentially, but
I mean, Conley feels like he's a Niner now. Ronnie Bell definitely has a shot at this. Robbie Chosen was brought in for a reason. I don't know. He's got an 8-year NFL career. So maybe he's a part of this. Yeah, a lot of questions. But anyway, TJ Hushman's out at some point in the next 40 minutes going to join the show. And he has been, for a long time, Brandon Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach. Worked with him on his way into the NFL, helped him to become an NFL player, and has certainly been at least a friend, if not an advisor, ever since then. And they still connect a lot. And so as this has sort of hit a new level, let's see what TJ has to say. We'll have that for you a little bit. Herm Edwards was Brandon Ayuk's college coach. He was on with Bonte and Joe this morning. I think pertinent for you all to hear some of this. This is where we started. Is the relationship between the Niners and Ayuk irreparable?
Absolutely. This is business. And this is what you tell every player when you're the head coach, when a player is going through the contract negotiation. You always tell the players this, just watch what happens during these negotiations. If it gets into the news cycle, and you're going to have to deal with all that. But at the end of the day, guys, that's the business part of it. It's not personal. And I think sometimes players need to learn that, too. This is business. It's nothing against you. It's just business. And business is different than being a football player or being a football coach. And so with that being said, hopefully this thing will transpire where it can get done, where both parties, you know, will shake hands and hug each other and get going. And if not, then, you know, Brandon will go somewhere else and the 49ers will have to regroup and continue to go. And at the end of the day, guys, you know, I've always said this. It's like if a player gets hurt in the opening game, you can't cancel the season. You got to play.
So I'm with him completely. I don't think there's any bleed over at all. If he were to suddenly sign an extension or figure this out or announce that he's playing on his fifth-year option, I actually believe this group can compartmentalize completely and just go right from there. I don't know what the appetite is for that right now, But I'm struck by the fact that these two have not been able to break up yet. And seemingly, if you listen to people close to them, at their core, they both still want to be together.
Yes, and there's a time where, you know, you're having trouble and maybe spend some time in the guest room, or maybe you do like a temporary separation where, you know, I'm gonna spend a week at my friend's house and then we're gonna regroup and figure it out. And that's kind of what this is. It's like a trial separation, or it's really more of a guest room stint for one of the members of a relationship where it's not a full-on breakup, but things clearly aren't good. And, you know, maybe you're working on a dissolution, not a resolution, but a dissolution of the relationship. And maybe when things cool down, you realize that you do need each other. You do still love each other. And I think you're right. If all of this leads to even him playing on his fifth year option, I think that he can be professional enough to put the helmet on and get out there and realize that balling out is the best thing he can do for himself and his team.
Herm did point to one potential concern for the 49ers based on this and more.
Brandon likes to win. And, you know, he wants to win. And why not? You're on a winning team. And you got a team that obviously every year is picked whether, you know, one or two to go to the Super Bowl, to represent the NFC. And they've been close, you know. And this team, you know, I think this team, when I look at it, the question you got to ask yourself, they've been in, what, three Super Bowls in the last 12 years. The energy is what you get worried about with a team like this, all the energy that's needed to do that, right? And all of a sudden, you're the target for every team you play.
I think that is a very, very educated thing to say right there. And it is my main concern for the 49ers this year. The cameras haven't left camp since the Super Bowl ended. They're following. Everybody's a roadshow. Everybody wants a new contract. Every position's got a big name at it. Like, think how many household names are on this team. And that whole adage that he's talking about, which is that every opponent is going to get up for you and think that that's their personal Super Bowl. Like, the 49ers are, they're high maintenance. They're high maintenance this year. I hate calling them that because I know the tag that goes along with that. I don't mean that they're divas. I just mean this whole outfit right now takes a lot of maintenance. And that can wear people out.
It can, but that's what comes with winning. And that's what comes with winning when you've got your fullback whose wife is now making clothing for Olympians, and she is a celebrity, and your running back got married to an actual celebrity, and your tight end is out there chugging beers at a concert, getting beers thrown to him by your now celebrity quarterback. So all of these guys have grown in their personality, maybe their ego too, but at least in their recognizability from around the world and around the country. So you're not quite Travis Kelce with Taylor Swift, but, you know, you're pretty darn close when you talk about five or six of them.
You're something.
Yeah.
You're something. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. At some point over the next half hour, TJ Houshmandzadeh joins the show. Also coming up next, Matty Barrows, tapped in, dialed in. He joined us yesterday, and we just flat-out put him on the spot. Like, is it more or less likely that Brandon stays? Like, is it still a likelihood that he suits up for the 49ers this year? We'll let you hear that answer coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.